Hope you'll be in prayer for us and with us this morning as we try to bring a message to you. As many of you know, we've been trying to talk about the things of the blessings of God and how to be blessed. We want to understand as much as we can, I think, about how we can be blessed from God. And as I mentioned last week, I guess this is not some kind of health and wellness doctrine, you know, that we're trying to talk about. We're talking about what does God's Word say about being blessed and what we can do to be in that place. And we've been talking about this for 4 or 5 weeks, probably since sometime around the first of the year. So we've tried to cover a lot of ground with this, but particularly, and as we mentioned from time to time, I know the congregations are different as we come together on a Sunday, and so we'll try to highlight a little bit of the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, and then bring it back around to today. And what we, I trust the Lord will bless us to focus our minds on today for a little while. But, if we turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we'll find there that the Apostle Paul, writing to the people of the Hebrew brethren, points them back to Jesus Christ. He tells them everything that they've been taught all down through the years, not that Abraham wasn't good, or that Moses wasn't good, or that angels weren't good, or the prophets weren't good. But if you read that first chapter of the book of Hebrews, he tells you again and again and again, Christ's better. Christ is above all these things. Christ is above the our father Abraham. He's above Moses. He's above angels. He's above prophets. And he carries that message right on into chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. And so we talked some about those things. And then we talked, at least on one Sunday, talking about how blessed are those that hear the word of God. The Bible tells us if a man has an ear to hear, let him hear. That portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 4, talking about the fact that, if God has given us a spiritual ear, there were times where Jesus was talking directly to people and he says, they cannot hear me. He did not mean that they could not hear him with their ears, but there are times unless a person's born again of the Spirit of God, so that they can hear with a spiritual ear the things that are being taught. It's words, but it's not spiritual words to your heart that touch you like it is when you've been born. So he says we're to hear the Word of God, and those that hear are blessed. So it's important for us to think about the fact that hearing God's word is a blessing to us. Then we spent some time talking in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, and have gone back probably and touched on that almost every Sunday for a few weeks, about making sure we understand what does it mean to be blessed. The world today has gotten so confused about what does it mean to be blessed. They think the bigger the house, the bigger the car, the bigger the job, the fancier everything is that you've got, well, that person must be blessed. But that's not what the Word of God says about being blessed. And so when we read here in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, he talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So he begins to put a whole new light on what it means to be blessed. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You begin to see a humble, poor, contrite spirit is what the Bible points to over and over again, just like he did in the book of Isaiah, where he says, this is the man that the Lord hears, he that is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembles at the word of God. So we began to get the idea that being humble, being poor in spirit, being a mourning, and this word in here we mentioned several times that that this fourth verse of the fifth chapter where he says, blessed are those that mourn. He's not talking about those that are sitting around crying about death and sorrow and trouble all the time, but those that are mourning about their sinful nature, those that are mourning about who they are. He says, you'll be comforted. And I think if I had a message for you this morning, I'd talk, along these lines, I would talk about how salvation is by the grace of God. That ought to comfort the poor sinner this morning who is mourning about his sinful nature and recognizes that there's nothing that he can do of his own will and power to deliver himself from this sinful state. When we realize that, the message of God's grace is a wonderful message. I'll tell you, to realize that God loved us, died for us, saved us, redeemed us, bought us with his precious blood. Those are wonderful messages to be thinking about. And the fact that Christ did it all. And that it's not up to me. It's not up to something that I have to do, but I can rejoice in knowing. And I can live a life of rejoicing and glory to God and praise to Him and thankfulness and being of a poor and contrite spirit in the time that I'm here, between now and the time I go home to be with Him. I can live a manner of a life of praise to Him because I recognize, boy, His grace is wonderful. So he says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This morning, if we and we ought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness every day. But I do think about how when we come to the household of God, we ought to come hungry. We ought to come in a spiritual way. I haven't eaten maybe in a spiritual way. Maybe I've read through the Word of God a little bit, but I haven't feasted on the preaching of God's Word maybe for a week, or maybe since Wednesday night, or some things like that. And so we ought to come here just craving some things of God's Word. And if we're not, we ought to stop and pause and say, Why don't I get to hungering and thirsting after these things like I do three times a day or five times a day or whatever it is for natural food? You know, my stomach just eats me up. Why doesn't my spiritual nature just cry out and say, I need some things from God's Word? You wake up on Sunday morning and say, you know what? I've got to get up and I've got to get to the house of God because I need this today. I need to hear from God's Word and hear what maybe the man of God has been blessed to have on his mind and bring to us. I need that. I need to be in the presence of God's people. So, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Today, in the world that we're living in, being persecuted for trying to live a good life, trying to stand up for the things of God's Word, he's telling us we need to get the mindset that when we're being persecuted for trying to stand up for what's right, we ought to take it as like a badge of courage almost, and say, you know what? I'm thankful that I'm in a place where I can be trying to do what's right. And if it ends up meaning I get persecuted for that, then so be it. I'm blessed because I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake and not for evil's sake. You know, the man that's out here doing evil and gets persecuted, well, you know, he's okay, so he sits around and says, well, you know, he had that coming to him. But you know what? He says when you're persecuted for trying to do the right thing, he says then you're blessed. And I'll tell you, Jesus Christ never did a sinful thing on this earth, fulfilled the law to a jot and to a tittle. They killed him and put him to death. And so we're in good company. When we're trying to do the right thing, when we're trying to serve others, trying to help others, trying to stand up for saying, you know what, the kind of lifestyle that you're living, I understand you're a sinner like Jesus did to the woman at the well, but repent and turn from these things. And be able to say that, not in a condemning way, but not saying, well, it's okay. You know, how many people today, you know, even men that are saying that they're servants of Christ and believers in God's Word are turning and saying, well, it's okay. Times have changed. Things are different today. So, you know, this lifestyle, that's, you know, it's you know, we're modernizing here. No, we're not. God has not modernized. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His Word has not changed. And He still believes what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Has not changed on these things. And He expects you and me to stand there too. We're followers of Him. We ought to be following in the things that He teaches. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. So when we're being accused falsely, we ought to be thankful that we have the opportunity to represent Him while we're here in the world. So, the idea of being blessed when you look at that picture there in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew doesn't sound exactly like it does when the world talks about being blessed, does it? Sounds like a whole different picture. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that are persecuted for my name's sake. Takes on a whole different picture. And he goes on, and we're not going into this morning, but you go right on down through that fifth chapter, and he says, you're to be salt and light. You're to be out there preserving, healing, being a preservative for things like salt is, and at the same time letting your light shine throughout all this world. That's what you're to do. And so, as we talked about some of this, we went on, I guess, last week and talked about how the Bible tells us in numerous places, particularly a number of places that we went to in the book of Psalms, but how we're blessed if we trust Him and fear Him. So with that thought in mind, I want to turn back or turn again maybe this morning to Psalm 128, and we'll at least begin some things there this morning and work through some verses there in Psalm 128. And he also talks about how we're blessed if we keep. So blessed are those that trust and fear, and blessed are those that keep His word. Also, we'd find if we turn over, and we probably will turn over to the book of James chapter 1, because James goes through a whole chapter to talk about enduring temptation. Blessed are those that endure. And also, blessed are those that do His word. If we want to be blessed, there's something about trusting Him, fearing Him. And when I say fear, you understand and have heard me say in times past that to trust Him and to particularly to fear Him, there's a reverential respect that goes with fearing God and respecting Him, respecting His trustworthiness, respecting His truth, respecting the fact that He's not going to mislead you so that you can follow after Him. So we ought to fear Him in that way. He says, blessed, Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. The Bible talks about there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's a way that seems right to a man. If you hear the arguments that so many people are making today, what they'll say, well, to me it seems like. It seems to me this is the way. Well, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death and destruction is what that's talking about. How it kills us spiritually, how it causes us not to be the followers that we should be. And so, but there is a way. If we follow after Him, follow after I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. So we ought to be walking in the ways of God. As Brother Allen and I were talking a little bit this morning there at the house, and he was talking about the things of Daniel and the book of Daniel, and how Daniel as a young man was carried off down into captivity. But while he was there, what he knew of the things of the Word of God, and had obviously been taught very well growing up there in Jerusalem, the things that he knew about the Word of God, he kept. He never denied. When they wanted him to eat things that were offered unto idols, he said, no, I'll just take these things over here if you'll feed me this, and see in 10 days if my countenance is not better than those that are eating the things from the king's table that have been offered to idols. And he did, and he was, because God blessed him in obedience and following after the things that he knew and understood. As he grows up, he's recognized by King Nebuchadnezzar as a man of wisdom. Why? Because he believed and followed after the things of God. In later years, when they tried to set up an idol god for them to bow down and worship, Daniel refused. Now, Daniel wasn't going around trying to make a show out of himself. Daniel, what Daniel did every day was Daniel went three times a day and went into his own house, closed the doors, didn't close the windows, trying to deny what he was doing, but he went into his house and prayed three times a day to his God. And when they found him guilty of worshiping someone other than the declared God that Nebuchadnezzar had declared to be the God of Babylon, they cast him into a den of lions. And even in the den of lions, Daniel did not deny his God, and God took care of him, blessed him, shut the mouth of the lions so that they didn't even eat him. And when the next morning came and they came running down there to see if he was okay, Daniel cried out he was all right. I'll tell you, Daniel trusted God in everything that he was doing. When his three Hebrew brethren were told that they had to bow down and worship, they were cast into a fiery furnace. And they said, O king, as they cried out to that king, O king, we may be destroyed in the fiery furnace, but we'll not bow down to you. Either way, our God is either going to deliver us, or he's going to deliver us in life or death. Either way it comes out. He's either going to bring us back out of this fire, or he's going to end the fire. We'll die and we'll go home to be with him. But we'll not bow down to you and to your false God. And those, they came out, they were brought out of the fiery furnace. And they said they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Now that's faith, friends. I'm not telling you I've got that kind of faith, but I'm telling you they trusted God in all that they were doing. He says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine. So here's a thing to young men and to young women, young families that are getting together. He says, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. He says, you fear God, walk in his ways. God's going to bless you to be fruitful, going to bless you to have children. And you say, well, Brother Charles, I know of people that haven't had children. They've tried to serve God. I'll tell you, you can go back in the Old Testament, you can find people that didn't have children. You can go look at people like Hannah, whose womb was closed. Yeah, you can go look at John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth. And in all the cases, they prayed to him. God blessed them. They may have just had one child, but God blessed them to have a child in the time within those times. So he says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways, because you'll see your children's children, and peace upon Israel. So when we think about this today, the Bible tells us, I think the message to us today, Israel was the land that the children of Israel lived in. Today, Israel would be much like for us, much like the church. It's a land, and God says, I'll give you peace, and you'll see your grandchildren. You'll see your children's children if you walk in my ways and fear the Lord and walk in my ways. So there's a blessing in not only fearing God, but also walking in the way that he would have you go. So what does that mean? What does it mean, walking in the way? You know, sometimes people say, what does it mean? That means following after God's word, making God's word the pattern of your life. We say, well, Brother Charles, how do we do that? Okay, everything from where your marriage, start with a marriage, and what you do to make a happy home, go back to God's word. What do we do to train up our children in the way that they do? Go back to God's word. Oh, I thought it was I don't know if you always get the real story, you know, and I'm not that I'm thinking about the Pope this morning, but you know, they were talking about the Pope, you know, said. They got on the other night and said, you know, he was praising this man for spanking his children. And I don't know that the words came out exactly like that, you know, because it sounds almost sound like he said he was beating the children or whatever, you know. And you get the newsmaker's translation of what's being said because he's not speaking in English and you don't know what they're translating. And we found out that, you know, over the last week, you don't ever know that the newsmakers are telling the exact thing that's being said like it should be said. So, I mean, you know, we learn all these things that we probably knew somewhere along the way, but it becomes more evident to us. But, you know, we're talking about following after God's word, and it does say to train up the child in the way that he should go. And the spanking or using a rod, as the word of God says, is something that's laid out in there. Now, he doesn't talk about beating them to a pulp or bringing whelps on them or leaving marks on them. But he does talk about training them. Training them. And I'll tell you, as we've tried to talk about here, and this is another subject for another day and another time, but to talk about walking in the ways. Walking in God's ways. The thing with training is you have to do it every day. You know, it's the thing with training. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a world class athlete or whether you're whatever it is you're training for. If you really want to get there, you don't take a day off, because if you take a day off, then you have to work double hard to get back to where you were. That's the way training is. And you know what? And if you're training children and you take a day off, you have to work double hard to get back to where you were, because they recognize instantly, hey, I can get away with it today. I don't know what was going on yesterday, but it looks like I got free rein today. Let's go for it. Then you have to work double hard to convince them that yesterday was a day off, and now they're confused. And you say, children, little children get confused. Oh, yeah, we confuse them with our lack of consistency, our lack of really training them like they should. We get them confused, and then, of course, anyway. So another subject for another time, but a good subject. Walking in his ways. Marriage, training, as Sister Sharon was saying, training our eyes, what we look at, what we do, where we go. And so trusting him, fearing him, recognizing that we don't want to make him, we don't want to upset our Heavenly Father, because he's our Father and he loves us. And our elder brother, Jesus Christ, came and died for us so that we could be with him throughout all eternity. And so the last thing we want to do is to upset him. And it's not that he's going to somehow, you know, cut us off and say, well, you're not my child anymore because you did something that was wrong. That's not the issue. It's the fact that he's our Father, and we don't want to see anything disrupt that fellowship that we have with him. We want to have a closer walk with him every day. And so we want to be drawing, you know, I use that word, but it's there, draw nigh unto him, for he will draw nigh unto thee. We're to draw close to him, and he'll draw close to us. And there's where the love and the fellowship and the care and the true blessings come from in God. So he tells us, Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his way. So there's another one of those. Trust, fear, walk. All of these things. Hear. We're to hear God's word. We're to humble ourselves. All of these are descriptions of how to be blessed. And we haven't talked about, well, we won't even go down. Haven't talked about a lot of things that people talk about today, you know, about, well, you know, send this, God will bless you. Well, okay, great. But I'll tell you, walk, fear, trust, hear God's word, do God's word, and there's blessing. Walk in his ways and fear him. Let's turn over to Psalm 119. A couple of things that I want to get here because Psalm 119 is probably like a year's worth. If you went through the whole thing, that's probably 20 plus weeks worth of preaching if you just broke it down like that. But we'll try to hit some high spots here in the first few sections of Psalm 119 this morning. But Psalm 119 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Or he's talking about undefiled, those that are keeping yourself cleansed or free from the things of the world. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Don't let the things of the world get on you. Keep yourself clean from the things that are out there in the world. Put that away. Put it at arm's length from you. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So again, this walking in the things of God, letting it be our daily path of what we do, walking in His Word, walking in His ways, walking in His law. And again, all throughout this Psalm 119, when it says the law, I don't think it's trying to say we've got to be a keeper of the Old Testament law, but it's talking about following after the laws of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God. All of these words are used over and over again to talk about following after God's Word. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. There's another one. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. So if we think about, and I'm going to pause right there for just a minute, because when I think about seeking Him with your whole heart, it reminds me of Romans chapter 12, where He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by renewing your mind. By renewing it to what? Renewing it to the things of God's Word. Why do you think it's important to come to hear the things of God's Word taught? Because the world gets on us every week. I mean, you understand? I mean, no matter what we do, if you work a job, you listen to the news, you listen to the radio, you know, and you keep rubbing up against the world, and it keeps getting on you. And through the course of the week, you know, you become more and more conformed to that kind of thinking. You just can't, I mean, I won't say you can't help it, but it's difficult for us in our human nature not to become more and more conformed. And what we need to do by reading of God's Word and by hearing the preaching of God's Word is don't become conformed, be transformed by continually renewing your mind and updating it and reprogramming it every week, if you will, keeping the program fresh, because God's Word needs to be made fresh and new to us every day. So blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. Don't be a half-hearted worshiper. Don't be a half-hearted child of God. Don't be as John through Jesus pointed out in the third chapter of the book of Revelation to the church at Laodicea. Don't be lukewarm. Serve Him with your whole heart. Don't let it be, well, okay, this week I'm pretty hot, next week I'm pretty cold, you know, I'm just kind of halfway into it. He says, serve Him with your whole heart. And so the challenge, whether it's young or old in the congregation, is don't be a half-hearted worshiper. When you come here, sing with your whole heart. when you're praying, pray with all of the focus of a whole heart. When you're listening to the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word, reach out with your whole heart and let that be your total focus and attention for 1 hour. For at least one hour a week, let that be your whole focus. Think about it. And He says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. Again, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. They also do no iniquity and walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. You haven't commanded us just to keep your precepts kind of, well, okay, today I'm feeling pretty hot on the precepts of the things of God's Word. And tomorrow morning, not so much. He said, do it diligently. Do it consistently. That's diligently means an ongoing and being consistent in what you're doing. So, you know, it's like a habit, you know, where they say 21 days, you know, or whatever it is. If you do something 21 days over and over again, you know, it becomes a habit and you don't even have to think about it. That's the way God wants us to serve Him. He don't even want us to have to think about, well, should I or shouldn't I? You know, He wants us to be diligently after the precepts. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed and have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with the uprightness of heart. that when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Don't forsake me, Lord. Don't, even if I mess up today, Lord, don't forsake me. Keep, stay there with me. Help lift me up. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is the young man? You know, I think the Bible recognizes young men have a particular challenge. Young men, whether they're in high school, college, middle school these days, right? I mean, it's pretty young. Whether it's middle school, high school, college, starting out the job, getting married, how's the young man going to keep himself on the right path? He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Question, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. When you take heed to God's word, it will help you cleanse your way. It'll help you stay on the right path, doing the right thing. How's a young man going to do what's right? He says, take heed to God's word. When I try to break down things for me and try to break down things for you, you know, and today people read the Bible and, you know, what, take heed, Brother Charles. What do you mean take heed? Well, if you're out on the highway, what you do is you take heed to the other traffic. One, you take heed to the signs, particularly those that are stop signs, yield signs, you know, crossroad signs, whatever's coming, you know, crosswalks. All, you need to take heed to the signs. In other words, pay attention to them. They're there to keep you out of trouble on the highway. Take heed to the traffic lights. I was distracted the other day. I was leaving work over in Birmingham, you know, and I pulled down to the traffic light. The traffic light was red, you know, and I went, you let off the gas for just a minute. I'm like, I stopped. I looked. It was clear. I was thinking like a stop sign, but it wasn't a stop line. It was a traffic light. So I hit the brakes again real quick, backed up, you know, nobody behind me. And I'm thinking, well, I wasn't taking heed, was I? My mind was not focused on what I was doing. I'd gotten distracted, thinking about some other things. And so when we're walking through this world, a lot of times do you ever get distracted? Does life distract you? Does every day distract you? We need to take heed. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. It's out there warning you. It's out there sending signals to you all the time. God's word is saying, take heed. Boy, we could go into Proverbs, you know, in the first five or six chapters of the book of Proverbs and say, young men, take heed to certain kind of women. Young women, take heed to certain kinds of men. There's warnings out there to us all the time saying, pay attention. Listen to the things of God's word. Take heed about what you do, what you say, how you say it. All these things are laid out in God's word. And he says, with the whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Take heed. You'll be blessed if you take heed to the things of God's word. So over and over and over again, the message just keeps being the same and the same and the same. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his in mercy endureth forever. Now, boy, we could stop there. There's a sermon in his mercy enduring forever, isn't there? Too many people today don't recognize that God's grace, God's mercy, God's salvation is not just kind of a part-time thing. His mercy endureth forever. When God said He loved you, and He loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. All of these verses are laid out to let you know that God didn't just love you temporarily. God loves you. And so He tells us, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of God? Boom, question. Who can really describe? Today, people are still studying and trying to describe the creation. Who can utter the things of the works of the Lord? They're still trying to utter and describe these marvelous bodies, how they work. People are still studying all that. The psalmist says, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Is it possible to show forth really all the praise that He deserves? No, because we don't even know what all to thank Him for. We don't even know what all to say. God's amazing. Look at what He's done. Look what He's doing over here. Look what He's done over there. How can we possibly give Him all the praise? How can we utter all the praise He deserves? Blessed are they which keep His judgments, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. There's another one of those blesseds. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, or thy deliverance. Visit me with thy salvation. Thy deliverance, O Lord. Send it to me. So He tells us again and again and again and again that when we do His judgments, we do His precepts, we do His testimonies, we do His commandments, it's a blessing to us. Now, I did this a few weeks ago when we were going through the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, but contrast that. Think about the contrast to that. If the Bible says, blessed are you if you do these things, then the contrary to that would be probably, cursed are you if you don't do these things. Or at least, the least you could probably draw out of that is, you will miss out on blessings. Blessings will not be yours if you don't keep His commandments. Blessings will not be yours if you don't do His testimonies, if you don't keep His word, if you don't do what God should say. And so today, what we have to recalibrate our mind to be, what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? You know what? Maybe blessing. Boy. Oh. Maybe part of blessing is just having a peace of mind. You know, there's something to be said in this old world to just have a peace of mind so that you're not sitting around worried all the time. You're not sitting around, there's a lot of people that worry about a lot of things that they have no control over. And instead of trusting God to take care of things and make things better and make this family member well, make this family member better, or maybe even the blessing of seeing them death come and I'm going home to be with the Lord. All of these things are blessings, and until we understand that they're blessings and we get a peace of mind about I'm going to serve God and I'm going to be at peace with that. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about over in the New Testament scriptures, and I hope I can get the terminology right as the scriptures tried to come to my mind. But he talks about the fact that he was blessed in whatever condition he was in. He says, whether I'm in the king's palace or I'm godliness, of course, godliness with contentment is great gain. But Paul said he was content. Contentment was a great price. And today, I think in the world that we're living in, one of the greatest problems is the world tries to make you uncontent. That's what advertising is for. Advertising is to make you not content. You're not pretty enough, your hair's not the right color, you're not hanging around with a cool crowd, or maybe you don't have any hair, and they don't want you to be content with that. They want you uncontent so that you're constantly worried about something. And the Bible tells us that Paul had said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. Paul had learned, whether he was in the prison ship, rowing, or whatever he was doing on that prison ship, whether he was in a prison ship or in the king's palace, whether he was in jail, being stoned to death, whatever it might have been that was happening to him in the service of God, Paul said, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I've learned, whatever state I'm in, there to be content. And we need to learn the same thing. So anyway, let's turn over to James chapter 1, and we'll try to bring some of these comments about being blessed and what it means to be blessed to a close. He tells us over here in James chapter 1. I might skip through some of this, but anyway, in James he says, my brethren, count it all joy. And I'm starting with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, of diverse types of temptations. And it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When trials come your way, when you're tempted to stray away from the things of God's Word, he says, learn patience. Learn patience. Wait on the Lord. Learn, you know, that's another one. Blessed are they that wait on the Lord. You know, learning to wait on God. Waiting for His timing to solve your problem instead of your timing to solve your problem. We want to solve it, you know, and today I think it's gotten even worse, in my opinion, just because we're so used to... I remember back a few years ago, I was trying to get down to some kind of, you know, meeting. I was either going to the... I don't know if I was going to a funeral home or whatever, you know, going down to Mississippi, going down there for some reason back toward the area where I grew up down there. And, you know, so we stopped in Fayette, Alabama, and I don't even mind saying, you know, we stopped at Jack's restaurant in Fayette. You know, we go through the drive-through window, right? And so drive-through means you speak in the speaker back there at the back, you drive up to the window, and you hand them the money, and just within moments, they hand you the food. Except when things aren't working right at the restaurant for whatever reason, you know, and you sit there at the drive-thru window and you wait and you wait and you wait, you know, and you're sitting there, you know, and you're thinking, well, you know, this is supposed to be fast food, you know, and, you know, you get, and the problem is, that's what we, you know, we get to expecting everything right now. I want it right now, and so we don't learn to wait patiently on the things of God. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect or complete work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. You know, that so that you've learned, let patience learn. You're not sitting here anxious and wanting something all the time. Learn to be patient. Today, I point toward Brother Austin only because, you know, he's one of our young folks that are here, Brother Colin and others. Sometimes we need to learn, young folks need to learn to be patient. You know, they need to learn to wait on the Lord and wait on His time and recognize you're not going to have at 20 or 21 what mom and dad have worked for 30, 40 years, you know, to try to obtain. But today we expect everything all now. And unfortunately we've ruined our kids, you know, because everybody's got this and that, you know, we give them too much and all those kind of things. And so they learn to expect that. That becomes the expectation level. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We ought to go to God confidently, especially when we're asking for something He said He would give to us like wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom for what? I need wisdom to make everyday decisions. I need wisdom to be a good husband. I need a wisdom to be a good wife. I need wisdom to train up my children in the way that they should go. I just need to be able to learn to take the information that you've given me in your word and be able to use it to make good decisions. Now that's wisdom. Being able to make good decisions, and good decisions talks about the right decisions. With the information that you have, I need wisdom to do that. Sometimes wisdom just says, say no. Sometimes wisdom says, don't do that. So he says, don't ask God. God will give to all men liberally that ask for wisdom. But don't doubt that God will do it. God will give it to you. So he says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but let the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Don't let the rich man get to thinking too much. He's not gonna last any longer on this earth. We're all gonna die. If you hadn't figured that out yet, you know, I hate to break the news to you now, but you know, here in church, but we're gonna, if the Lord doesn't come again and change us all in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we're all gonna die. And the old saying, you can't take it with you. You know, let the rich man, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he, when he's lifted up. But let the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. So when you're humbled, remember it's a good thing. And he says, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flower thereof, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So shall the rich man fade in all his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And you say, well, brother, you know, I've said this, okay? So I'll just say, you know, I've got a lot of trials in my life. I'm not feeling very blessed. God's Word says when you've got a lot of trials coming your way and you're learning from them, you're blessed. Well, my mind doesn't think like that. That's right. We don't often think like God's Word teaches. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But you know, I've had trials, and y'all know, some of y'all know some of them over the last few years, you know, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not feeling very blessed of God right now. You know, it's this trouble, this trial, this problem, this thing, you know, and it's like it's hitting me from all sides. It's church and it's work and it's home and it's this. And he says, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach you to patiently wait on God. I'm trying to teach you to look to me. I have the answers, not you. You don't have the answers. You don't have all the solutions. Learn to wait on Him. Endure. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Okay, Lord, I'm trying to transform my thinking now. Be transformed by the renewing of my mind, not being conformed to the world. That when I'm doing the best I know how to do righteously, okay, to do things, and yet I'm still suffering trial, tribulation, problem, issue, things going on. Maybe God's trying to hone me and smooth me and teach me. And who knows, the trouble I'm going through might be something I can help somebody else with down the road. Maybe that's just the learning experience I need to help somebody else and do something else. And maybe I just need to learn to lean on God a little bit more. Well, I'm going to skip past some things real quickly to close this out. But he's blessed is a man that endureth temptation. Then we go over and he tells us again about being hearers of God's Word. He says, for the wrath, verse 20, wherefore lay apart, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. This engrafted Word of God that will save your souls is not going to take you to heaven, my friends, but it will save you right here in this old world from trial and trouble and tribulation when you and receive it with meekness, God's Word. And he says, but be ye doers of the Word of God and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now that tells me that when you just sit here on Sunday, and I'm saying you, me, us, all of us, any of God's children, when all you do is sit here and hear it, but you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. Well, what's the deception, Brother Charles? You think you're serving God like you should? I was at church on Sunday, but there was a message there for me. And I heard it, but I didn't do it. I didn't actually receive it like I should have. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, this man is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want blessing? Blessing comes not just from hearing. Hearing, we've already talked about. Blessed is the man that hears the word of God. But blessed is the man that heareth it and doeth it and keepeth it and walketh in it and trusteth God and feareth him. That's where blessings are for our lives. So anyway, I hope as we've gone through this over the last number of weeks, and I've just worn you out with it, I hope it's been a blessing to you to understand what the blessings of God truly are in our lives, so that we don't let the world get us confused about what being blessed is. May God bless you.